everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. There's exactly one show, but we're promoting it this week, man, and we're going to promote some other stuff, including the comedy classes at the Comedy Castle, including that's the one that I do, the advanced comedy class, and of course, Bill Bouchard's beginner class. Both of our guests today have gone through the comedy classes at the Comedy Castle, and they're doing great for themselves. Charlie Wahlborg, who you hear from first, is the promoter and MC of TEDx Detroit. X-Laughter. TEDx Detroit Comedy Showcase that's coming up this Wednesday, August 27th at 7:30 p.m. That's the show this week. And I'll tell you who's on that show. It is a showcase show with, I think it's eight comedians or seven plus Charlie. Tim Finkel, who you guys know from this show, T-Barb, Camaro, Jacob Barr, who you may know from Kill Tony, and he's awesome. Camilla Bellario, Derek Irvin, Haley Zurich, and Charlie himself. We're going to run those down in the interview with Charlie as well. So if you want a little more about those comics, many of them you've heard on this show or have seen at the Comedy Castle or headlining the Comedy Castle. That show is at 7:30. It is a showcase show. So get your tickets, pick your seats over at comedycastle.com. $15 online, $20 at the door. So please come on out and support Charlie. And really one of the best lineups you're ever going to see kicking off your Labor Day weekend. Of course, there's no shows the rest of the week because of the Arts Beats and Eats Festival over Labor Day weekend. So we're gonna get out of town, the Comedy Castle management and staff. We're leaving. We're out starting on Thursday. Going to take a little week off. It's nice to have a little week off, you know, because we work so hard. We were very busy this past week. Craig Robinson, he rocked the room this past week. And I wanted to interview Craig, who you've seen in The Office, Hot Tub Time Machine, and many other things. This Is the End was a great movie he was in. I'm a big fan of that movie. But Craig's great. He does a lot of music. He does comedy. It's super funny. It keeps me busy because I have to do lights and sound, and there's light cues and music cues, and the opener's got music cues. It was a great time, though. So shout out to Craig Robinson. It was 3 years was the last time he was at the club, and hopefully it's not another 3 years till he comes back, because that dude is awesome. One of the best shows you'll ever going to see. People clapping along, singing along. It's a blast. So shout out to Craig. Ralphie Roberts was the feature act. Ralphie's incredible. Maybe we'll get Ralphie back as a headliner in the not-too-distant future. And my friend Gary Cannon, who opened that show, one of the real stars of the L.A. comedy scene, in the fact that he hosts everything. You'll hear me mention Gary in the interview with Charlie a little bit and tell you what Gary's up to. So shout out to Gary Cannon if you're listening. It was great to have you at the club. And we want to see you there for X-Laughter TEDx Detroit this weekend. Let's run down a little bit of what we told out. First of all, I did want to say that we were also promoting the comedy classes at the club. Those will be starting up again in September. The beginner comedy class with Bill Bouchard and the advanced comedy class with me, Joel Fragamenti. I know that my class starts Saturday, September 13th at 12:30. It runs for 6 weeks. It covers all aspects of comedy, from writing, performing, getting yourself booked, running your own show, being an MC, doing your taxes as a comic, selling merchandise, all of the things that you're going to run to in a professional comedy career. I will run you through those. We'll do the field trips. You'll hear those guys, Jake and Charlie, talking about going and doing those shows. And really, if you want to do comedy more than just, hey, I did it and checked it off the bucket list and got some laughs in front of my friends and family, that's what the beginner class is for. And it's great. Bill's an awesome teacher. Take that class. But once you've done that, or if you've been doing comedy for a little while and you're feeling like you want to take it to the next level, please sign up for the advanced comedy class. Call the club at 248-542-9900, 248-542-9900. If you'd like to sign up for any of the comedy classes, they'll give you the exact dates, of course, on the Bouchard ones that I don't have in front of me. But I know mine is September 13th. Last time I checked, there was still space available, but it does run out. I only take 13 students per session. And if we get 13, I got to say no more. You can do it the next time I do it. But who knows what the next time is going to be, right? Who knows? So sign up for the 13th. And you're going to hear a lot from both of these guys. Like we said, Charlie, he's been running TEDx Detroit. And that's, you know, people giving inspirational talks. He'll get into a little bit of the essence of what TED is. But he's been doing that for 17 years in the city of Detroit. And he's used plenty of entertainers over the years, plenty of comedians. A lot of those you'll see Wednesday. So we'll hear how Charlie got into stand-up comedy, his goals for the show that he's doing Wednesday, what he learned in the comedy classes, and a lot of cool stuff. I'm a big fan of Charlie. And you'll hear from him. And then right after that, Jacob Russell joins me. Now, Jacob isn't on the show this week, but he is a frequent person at our club that you can see on a lot of the shows. He won the last Comedy Rumble. He tells a funny story about doing Detroit to L.A. and why he lost Detroit to L.A. He thinks one joke did it, which I didn't even remember, but it's very candid of him to say that. You'll hear about his great one-man show that is I've not seen it myself, but is a big hit, Chicago Sketch Fest and other things with what Jacob's up to. And he's a very talented young man, and he's doing well for himself. I'm real proud of Jacob, and we'll hear from him after that, which is just a little bonus. It's a little plug for the class, I suppose, but it's a plug for what Jacob's doing, and I like that guy a lot, and I think he's doing great things. A lot of talent in Detroit, Michigan, however you want to say it, you know? And they're all at the Comedy Castle, so we want you guys to come back out if you haven't. We're going to have a great fall lineup. I've already looked at some of the acts coming up. Hopefully, they'll be on this show, including one of my all-time favorites, Brian Scolaro, in a couple of weeks. Jeff Dye is coming up in a few weeks as well. Josh Blue. Too many great comedians. Brett Terhune was just added on the calendar, so a lot of great comics coming up. But let's get to the two. Let's get to the new Jacks. When I say new comedians, do I mean guys that are 19 and 20? No, these guys are a little older, but they're great, and I want you to enjoy each of them. We'll play them back to back for you here. Let's start out here with Charlie Wahlborg. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to have the promoter of this week's show at the Comedy Castle, Charlie Wahlborg. Welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, I'm trying to match your energy. Because you are an energetic dude on stage. Let me tell you that much, man.
I'm something.
You are, man. I love it. You were in my class and I'm like, oh, you are an entertainer for sure. Like, I saw you and I was like, Charlie, this guy, you got a future in this, dude.
Oh, thanks so much. If there's a microphone and a stage, it doesn't matter if it's Disney show tunes,
yeah,
or comedy or music. That's what that dog, I will get up and fill time.
But you've been doing really good. And I know that this TEDx thing is a big part of your life and your career so far. So tell us about how you got started with TEDx.
Well, geez, this is going to be our 17th year for TEDx.
Okay. Detroit. Yeah.
It started back in 2009, and it really started because kind of I needed a lifeboat.
Yeah.
You know, being a creative and an entrepreneur, like if you remember back 2008, 2009, it was just dismal. You know, everything was burning, bleeding, or bankrupt. And so we kind of started the first TEDx as kind of, hey, things aren't that bad. The big stories are bad, but there's all these cool innovators and entrepreneurs that are creating beautiful stuff. Let's celebrate them.
Uh-huh.
So we brought in architects and computer programmers and entertainers to kind of do we always say, if you have the world's attention for 5 minutes, what would you want to share?
Yeah.
So people gave these little TED Talks, and 17 years later, we're still going strong.
That's great. And then with comics, so this show that we have Wednesday, August 27th, is people who have all done a TEDx Detroit for you?
Right. Well, so TED was originally an acronym. It meant the T was for technology, the E was for entertainment, and the D was for design.
Oh, okay.
Three fields that drive innovation. Mm-hmm. So every year at TEDx, we've always had these great comedians come on. We had comedians, magicians, singers, dancers, J. Chris Newberg's done a couple TED Talks for us, and just lights up the stage. And so because you're dealing with some of these weightier issues, and if you spent the whole day just hearing about cancer research or, recovery, you need to reset the brain. So we go right brain, left brain. We make you laugh. We make you cry. And that's what TED's all about. But the X equals laughter is like, hey, what if we forget about all the smart stuff and let's just laugh our ass off.
Yeah.
And so X is laughter is a chance to say, look, we've got all these great comedians. Let's put them on. Let's let them do comedy instead of talks.
Right.
So this is just a night of comedy.
Just doing comedy. Because people ask me, I was talking to people about the show over the weekend, some of our weekend comics, and I go, well, that's the show Wednesday, and our MC Gary Cannon was very... So he's like, they're doing TED Talks at the show. That doesn't seem funny. I go, no, they're doing their acts. They're comedians. They've all done TED Talks, telling their stories, their inspirational stories, whatever it might be, and now this is the night for them to do the jokes, the entertainment.
And it's funny, because you'd hear little bits of their act in their TED Talk, but now to hear, now it's like, oh, I heard a little bit of their TED Talk in their act.
Yeah,
because comedy and the talks, and they start from a jumping off point of your life and your experience, and then how do we make it funny? How do we make you laugh? Because when I do a business keynote, my motto is always, learning is easier when you're laughing. If you can make someone laugh, they're more open to a new idea. So, but this I love taking the reins off people, because some of them give very heady TED talks, but then if you just let them do their set. You'll be bent over laughing. I mean, we've got 6 people, 7 people that are on the bill that are headliners in their own right, and they're doing 10 minutes of their best stuff. And so it is a fun night.
We've done this a couple
times, and it's great to kind of get the band back together.
No, I mean, let's just talk about some of the people on the show. I mean, T Barb is hilarious. She's been in LA recently.
Hood rat.
Yeah.
She is. Great pog, funnier stand-up. She's actually living in LA now, so we're glad that she's home just to do this show. Mm-hmm. She's been hosting on Channel 4. You might have seen her on the afternoon newscast there, as they have some guest comedians in there. But she runs the room like nobody's business. Hilarious comedian.
Yeah, T-Barb. Camila Bellario was just on this show last week, so we love her.
She's just recorded her special. Yep. She's headlining all over the Midwest. Talented. She's a talented singer in her own right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She'll
play some good, she'll play some funny songs.
Funny songs and body. She is a new mom, but still is just as raunchy as anyone. Yeah. She's a great comedian.
And then we got Cam Rowe.
Oh, the big fella. I describe Cam as a walking sitcom.
Yeah.
You could hear a laugh crack as he's doing a set. You can just visualize this in your mind. Oh my gosh, this could have been a huge sitcom in the 90s or even now. He is just has so many great stories about his family and is just a polished performer.
Yeah, he's great. He's been on this show a couple times. Haley Zurich is on the show.
Haley's someone, she teaches classes as well.
Yeah.
She comes from the improv side. He is surreal in her comedy, but knows how to work a room, knows how to get laughs. She's so likable on stage. I love watching her perform.
And then, of course, Jacob Barr is on the show. I know the guy with Kill Tony. Yeah, the guy with the hands.
Yeah, Kill Tony. So he broke out on Kill Tony this year. He spoke a few years ago, and he's someone who deals with some disabilities, but turns them in. Yeah. You are laughing your ass off when he's talking about not having an ass.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Great comic. So good. Jacob Barr is awesome. Derek Irvin is
Derek, Derek makes us laugh at some of the smartest jokes. Like he makes you think, and he delivers a punch. When he delivers a punch, because he's dealing with sensitive subjects, the room erupts because he makes it okay to laugh about big ideas.
Yeah, I love Derek. He was a student of mine recently. He's doing very well for himself.
That's the whole reason I'm doing the show, because I took the advanced comedy class with Joel, and one of the weeks we talked about, hey, if you're not getting booked, you need to produce your own show.
Produce your own show,
I'm not getting booked, so I'm booking my own show.
Here it is. Well, look, all these guys help
me. I'm not good enough to play the castle, but,
you're playing it Wednesday. It's the only show of the week.
To play the castle,
Tim Finkel's also on that show. We love Tim. He's been on this show. We all know his story about... his family's challenges with his son Ryder and cancer, and just an awesome comic, great dude.
I love Tim Fingle, and he's funny as fuck. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that guy just delivers punchline after punchline and makes us laugh. You know, what's amazing is his TED talk was actually about finding humor in grief. And he continues to give to every organization in town and make people laugh, even though he's going through some of the toughest times anyone could go through.
Tim's great. We love him, and we were supporting his family as best we can in the comedy community and at the Comedy Castle. So, yeah, it was great.
Well, you know, Ted is, we've performed on all the big stages, from the Fox to the Masonic to Kobo, and we love doing those big shows. But when you're talking comedy, the Castle is home. Castle is the iconic spot for comedy. So to bring these comics, you know, back off the TED stage onto the comedy stage is so great. And you and Bill have done so much teaching comedy. Just about everybody in this class started out as one of your students or both your students.
Yeah, most of them. It's been great. Well, that's one of the things that's so rewarding as teachers, when you see people who have gone on to headline the club or had success this way or that way or whatever it is, producing their own things. You know, I always say the Michigan comedy scene now, I mean, most of the shows that aren't the big clubs are produced by students of the advanced comedy class at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, the majority of them probably are, because that's a point of emphasis that I make in the class is you got to run your own show. You got to promote yourself. You got to help other comedians, and they'll turn around and help you, because it is a community. You need help of other people. You can't do it by yourself.
Absolutely. The comedy community is great, and it's competitive, but it's also collaborative. And the thing I love about the Comedy Castle, the classes at the Comedy Castle, were, you know, it gives you a point on your schedule. Like, honey, I'm scheduled. I have a class tonight. Yeah. And so you get to go on the weekly, bi-weekly with you, you know, with your partnership on some of the open mics.
Yeah.
But it gets comedy on your calendar, so it becomes a priority. And you work on writing, and you work on set creation, but then you work on the business of comedy.
Yeah.
And so taking both of these classes, the 101 and the 201, help move you along. So you and Bill can't make us funnier, but you give us the tools so we can make ourselves funnier.
I will never claim to make you funnier. I always tell people, I say one goal of the comedy classes, if you buy into what I'm saying, you'll be better at the end of the advanced comedy class. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to go out and headline a show the next week. That takes time. That takes a lot of shows and a lot of effort on your part outside of the class. But you'll be better. And I think most people, by the time they get to that showcase from the advanced comedy class, they have what a lot of people say is the best set of their life at that point. And I go, well, that's great. And you're going to have better ones coming up after that.
And you get the photos at the castles, you get the video at the castle. And so it's a stamp of approval, like, okay, this person is going through the process. This person is working on the craft. Because comedy is a game of reps. It's a game of test, measure, repeat. And so by working with the teachers and you know, the students end up doing some of the teaching as well, that people are giving you new punchlines, new tags, things to cut, things to enhance, and your set gets better by going through that process.
And those people that you take the class with will be friends of yours and colleagues and people that can help you and sort of creating, you know, it's creating that community wherein somebody gets booked, and rather than being resentful, you can say to your fellow classmate, former classmate, who booked you there? Okay, how'd you get in there? Oh, I sent a tape, or I went and get a guest spot, and then you can inquire and get that same guest spot, and then maybe you get that gig, and it kind of works from there, people helping each other out.
Right, so I met Derek actually in class.
Yeah, there you go.
And then he got a TED Talk out of it, and now he's doing this show, so.
Yeah, so Derek, you got to turn around and help Charlie, Derek, come on. That's how this works.
Love to rewrite all of it. Michelle Redd is another one who I took the class with.
Yeah,
she's someone who has a lot of international experience, and her comedy about the differences between the Midwest and the rest of the world.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a TED Talk, and so she's doing comedy and doing talks. Nice. So,
yeah, it's great, and you know, this event for you on Wednesday. Like I said, not only is it the only show of the week, It's so many different headliners, all with great stories, entertaining stories, but interesting people as well, and good people.
You know? I can say unequivocally, I am part of the best show this week at Comedy Castle. So.
The best show of the week. It's the only show.
Feeling
it's the
really
best
good
one.
About that.
All right. Now, how's the rest of your comedy career going, Charlie? How long are you in now? What's your?
So it'll be 2 years this fall since I took my first class.
That's terrific.
And I'm not going to repeat what I can find. This month I was performing in Grand Rapids a couple nights. I performed up in Northern Michigan, performed in Royal Oak and Waterford and Detroit. I performed in Windsor. Yeah. I performed with the World Series of Comedy. Five different states and out in Vegas. So it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't kind of gotten the guardrails down with the classes at the castle. So I love it. I always say, I don't know if laughter is the best medicine, but by far it's my favorite drug.
Yeah,
there's nothing better than making a crowd laugh, and nothing sadder than when you are a cricket farmer. Yeah. I've been both.
Yeah, well, we've all been there, man. It's been, it's the highs and the lows, but at the end of the day, sometimes you learn. Maybe you learn more from the bad shows than the good shows. I think that's true at times. And you're hosting this show, right? You're hosting this whole thing. Yeah. And that's the thing too, that a lot of, like if you're a young comedian, not knowing it, and it's the thing that I emphasize, you gotta be a good MC to be successful in this business. I know it's not the job people dream about having. People dream about being the headliner, but when you're a great MC, you'll always work. You'll always make those connections. You'll always have a place to go and be funny.
I'm super excited for this week, but my proudest moment in comedy actually was at the castle hosting. I guess it was for Lynn Marginalsi from America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Did a one nighter at the castle. And oh my gosh, was he amazing. And Jay Hunter was the feature.
Yeah.
And to be able to share the stage with two just monsters.
Yeah.
It made me better, kind of just being in their aura.
Yeah. And just being around those people is so inspiring. The guy. So when you talk about the MC thing and why you get an MC, the MC this past weekend, we had Craig Robinson from The Office at the club all weekend. He does an awesome show.
Amazing.
But the MC is a guy named Gary Cannon. Gary is a guy from Michigan who moved out to Los Angeles. He's a regular MC at the Improv in L.A. He is the warm-up comedian for the Jennifer Hudson show, which comes back in a couple weeks, he told me. But he MCs. That's pretty much his job. Is he goes out and EMCs, and all of the big names in comedy, they all know Gary and they all want Gary opening for him. He just did a show with Tim Allen and Jay Leno where he was the MC.
Wow.
He's out on tour now with Craig Robinson and Ralphie Roberts, Craig's opener. And he goes out and he does those shows. And, they just did the weekend at the Comedy Castle. Monday night, as we're recording it, tomorrow night, they've got a show at the Improv in LA, the three of those guys. And he's on that show. And he just loves emceeing. And he comes out with great energy, and people love him. And they're like, I want Gary. I want Gary on my show. I want this person on my show.
I enjoy the hell out of emceeing. It's a tough job to come out and, kind of warm up a room. But also, not all of us are going to be headliners.
Yeah, well, it's
I know my part. I'm a good game show.
Don't sell yourself short. But look, if you can MC, you'll always work. And you're not, and you don't have an ego about it. Because some people, when they go, I got this MC spot, and people go, I don't want to do an MC spot. And then, they turn it down. And then that booker will never call you again in all likelihood. Right. I mean, there's a chance of that, and you don't want to burn your bridges. You want to be able to be a good host, be an affable host. And then you're a host of, when you're a host of comedy, like Gary's a great, comedy club guy. And now he's working on television. He's the warm-up guy in Jennifer Hudson. And then if Jennifer needs somebody funny to be on camera, well, Gary's sitting right there.
Bam.
That's how it goes. Yeah. That's how it works.
Be in the right spot. So when opportunity strikes, you're ready.
And you'll be there too, dude. You keep being funny. And
I think it was your class, the headliner for that week had started out as an opener for Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers was with Brian Regan, I believe, for years.
Yes, Brian. Yeah. So Brian Regan saw him at a show, took him along as a host, and now he's he's a headliner himself. But again, I'm sorry to keep plugging the comedy, but what an amazing experience for young comics to be able to, you know, the headliner came in during one of our classes and we just bombarded him with questions for an hour.
Yeah, I think Steve sat headliner. In with that us. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was the thing I try to, always let the headliners know, hey, I got comedy class next week if you want to come by and say hi, or you got comedy class on Saturday. Come on by.
He gave us a lesson.
They don't always, but Steve was great. Yeah, he gave us his time. And
he gave us a lesson about act outs.
Yeah.
On slowing down the act out to draw up the laughs that I still use.
Yeah. And I learned, you know, and I learned so much in those classes too. You know, I'm there listening to these headliners and I'm learning from, you know, the new comics, you know, where are the good places to do an open mic? Who's booking what? And how do you get in there? You know, it's all something that just goes to help you out, give you some real world experience in stand up comedy, maybe make it a little less scary.
I wish if every American came out and sat in a comedy club once a month, you know, there'd be a lot less hatred, a lot less stress. Laughing releases endorphins. It's a great stress relief. It's a great way to build a team. Like bring your group out from work and laugh together.
Yeah.
Have a shared experience. It's a great date night. The Comedy Castle is just a great place to be to make you feel better about your life.
Yeah, and it's
enjoy yours.
And it's, you know, it's a relatively cheap night out compared to, you know, going seeing some comedian at the Little Caesars Arena or something. You know, the intimacy of the Comedy Castle, it more likely than not you'll get to say hi to the comedians after the show. If it's the thing that you want to do, you want to do a photo, you want to tell them your story. If they're inspired by something you said, you can make those connections at the Comedy Castle. It's really neat.
And it's interesting being out on the World Series of Comedy and performing across the country. Michigan has an incredibly talented scene.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm competing with folks all across the country, and Michigan is not a slouch, and we have a great reputation too because so many people, funny people, come from here.
Yeah.
And so they kind of cut their teeth here in Michigan and they'll move to either New York or LA.
And or they stay here and they're successful too. That's becoming more of a thing.
Yeah.
Where you can do it all
Brad
from here.
He's
Brad Wenzel, Sam Talent just moved to Detroit. I mean, one of the best guys out there. And it's a great scene. And you're part of it, Charlie. You're in. You're a lifer now, dude.
Absolutely. I can't see me ever stepping away from comedy. It's such a joy.
You got to do it, man. And you definitely light up that stage. And there's a thing that I always like to tell comedians, and I tell them at the time when they're in the class, and I go, I'm going to see you in a couple years. And you're going to be way better than you were in this class. And you were good in the class. And I definitely feel like I saw you recently. I go, there it is. I can see the reps. I can see the shows. You know, I can see that odometer is full of comedy miles now. But it makes you better. You got to do it. And you're getting up as much as you can. And it shows.
Do the reps. Absolutely. Do the reps. Take the host spot.
Do it. Take it all.
Go do the open mics.
Do it all. Don't complain about it. And, you know, have fun with it as best you can. Because you may look back at that and say that was the time comedy was the most fun. That's the thing, too, when you're starting out, because you're working with your friends. You're working with people you know. You're close to home. You're sleeping in your own bed. The more you do it, the further away you get from home. You're going to work with people who you don't really know, who may not even like you all that much. And it gets to be a little bit of a lonely profession, but that's just me bitching about it, right?
You hear from actors that actors love returning to the stage because it's, you know, you're kind of flying by the wire and it's different every night.
And
you know, in the major leagues, someone can strike out 3 out of 4 times and they're still an all-star. And there is something about going up and telling those same jokes again. I've had the best set of my life and the worst set of my life in the same night telling the same jokes in two different venues. Now it is live. You don't know what's going to happen, but that's the advantage of coming out to the Castle versus sitting at home on Netflix. Yeah.
There's this
element of danger.
Yeah. There's things you can't control in comedy,
right?
But then there's things that you can't control. You do that well too. So, hey, Charlie, this event on Wednesday sounds so great. I'm going to be there, and it's going to be a fun time. Go to comedycastle.com, get your tickets, come see Charlie, that whole gang of killers that you've lined up for us. It's going to be a great time.
I can't wait for it. I'll see you on Wednesday.
All right. Sounds great, Charlie. Thanks so much, bud.
All right, Joel. Thanks for what you do.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line is a guy that we got coming in. A successful, young, rising talent. A veteran of the advanced comedy class of Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Winner of the Comedy Rumble, Jacob Russell. Welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast.
What up, though? What's up?
It's good to talk to you today, dude.
You said what?
Good to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're doing great things in comedy, sir.
Yeah. It probably sounds like I'm asleep right now.
No, you're good, man. Everyone's digging it. Listen.
Yeah.
What you just recently won the Comedy Rumble.
Yeah.
Super funny. Yeah. That was great. That was one of the all-time good ones that I've seen.
Oh, appreciate that.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. They had two that night.
Yeah. And you won this. Did you win the second one or the first? I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I won the second one.
The second
show of the night. It was the first show was like a tie.
It was a tie.
The winners was tied. I believe it was Ella Hordell and I forgot the other person. But it was a tie.
Right.
And Comedy Rumble was always fun. I like doing it because it just like makes you a better writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like trying to get those laughs.
Get them quickly.
Get quick laughs. You only got 90 seconds to get a quick laugh, and it's like you don't realize how long 90 seconds is mm-hmm. till you like do that show, and it's like you know. It's ample opportunity, and it just makes you look at your set differently. Like,
yeah,
I have ample opportunities to like get so many laughs, and you waste so much time doing your set, just like saying all these unnecessary words when you could just be getting laughs if you just uh-huh. really do surgery to your jokes. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
make it the best 5 minute set as possible, or you know,
yeah. So you knew going like in, that. So you sit down and do that work before the event.
Do I sit down? Honestly, no, I need to be a better writer. I need to write more. I need to sit down and write more.
Okay.
Well, I know a lot of times I just like have an idea mm-hmm. and I just work it out on stage and yeah. I just have a list of like bits and jokes that mm-hmm. I have, and I just refer to that list, and I just keep like working it out. And I like remember the parts that I took out or parts that I tagged and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been working for me.
Yeah.
But I'll be a lot better if I actually sit down and write more. Yeah. I need to do that more. Right. I don't recommend that whole off the cuff shit to anybody. I mean, yeah. unless you like Jay-Z or Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying? I don't think you should just go off the cuff with anything like that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, when people take the advanced comedy class, they always ask about writing and tell us how to write. And I always tell people when you talk to professional comics and you're a professional comic, everybody's method is different. And yeah. So I can't force you to do it the way I do it, because the way I do it isn't the way that you do it and other successful comedians do it. So you really just got to find what works for you.
Right.
And, you know, for a rumble, for something like that, for me personally, I would probably write it down anyway, because I find that if I write it like right before the show, the day of the show, an hour or two before the show, maybe even at the club if I'm on later, that can make me remember it on the night.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's just how I do it.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, I mean, yeah, you're right. Everybody got their different way to do
it. Yeah, that's right. I always say I can't really tell you what to do, because you just got to do it. And then people want to know, you know, well, how do you write? What's funny? How do you set up? And I go, get a book about comedy writing. I don't know if you ever read any of them. I read a few of them.
I try to read a couple of them. Yeah. I haven't finished them. But
and
like,
they tell you, these words are funny. Make sure to use these words. These are funny words. make sure to have three examples of this thing in a row, because that's fun. And, you know, that all stuff is like, okay, you can do that. But I can't force anybody to do it, because there's great comedians who don't do it.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, I just think it's like better, writing, you know, writing doesn't have to be physical. You can just write, writing is physical. This ain't gonna make sense, actually. But I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, it's in your head. Do you not have, I think the value in some people that like do the notebook thing, which I haven't done in years, but mine's more like scraps of paper, is that you can go back to that book at some point and pull that idea out.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that is better. Not better, but I think it's important to like actually sit down and write stuff out. Mm-hmm. Like it's important because you do forget. If you do it the way I be doing it, you will forget shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I cuss? I forgot.
You sure can.
Okay. I'm not going to cuss a lot. I might slip up and do it. But anyway,
you say what you did. If people come see you live, you're going to cuss, right? So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And that's what we want.
All right, cool. I don't give a fuck then.
All right. So writing, I mean, you've written a one-man show. I mean, that's talk about writing. That's quite an endeavor. Tell people about that.
Yeah, so I created a show called Birth of Hoy Ass Nation back in 2017. Mm-hmm. I did that show, and this was actually before I started doing stand up.
Oh, okay. So, but you were doing improv at the time, maybe.
Yeah, improv and sketch. Okay. Comedy, yeah. At the time, I've been doing that for like 14 years.
Nice.
And started stand up probably about 6 or 7 years after I started doing that. But Birth of Hoy Ass Nation, I created that show back in like 2017. Well, I debuted in 2017. I started working on like late 2016 with my director. He's also a co-writer on it. His name, Mike McGettigan, over at Planet Ant.
Okay.
But he helped me develop it and everything. And like I said, it's a one man show. It's like a bunch of characters, and I play all the characters, and I use wigs and props and shit. Okay. And it's like, it's fucking silly, but it's like, it's also serious.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's about, slavery and racism in America, mm-hmm. the history of it. The name is a playoff of that, racist film.
Nice.
From the early 1900s,
Birth of a Nation. D.W. Griffith, I believe, made that movie.
Yes,
I have a film degree, so there you go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like it's an important film to watch if you're studying film.
Yes,
it has a high rating in Rotten Tomatoes, and I understand why, because you know just like for like you know. Film reasons, but the film is actually, but the film is fucking racist.
Well, yeah, it's considered a masterpiece in its time, but the point of it is that the Ku Klux Klan saved the United States, apparently, is basically the racist premise of the film. Yes.
Yes. So it's, so I just think it's hilarious that at the time it got a high rating. I mean, can't you like rewrite? Can we rewrite stuff? You know what I'm saying?
You could. Well, there's a guy who made a movie called Birth of a Nation about slavery. There not that long ago. Do you remember that? Yeah, I forget the guy's name. Yeah, it was a good movie. I saw that. It was really good.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah,
it was like you know from a different perspective, and but I took it. It just. Create Birth of a Whole Ass Nation and just
turn it on.
Just talking about America. America is a whole ass country. They be doing whole ass shit today.
More than ever, probably today.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, that's pretty much what it's about. It's me. I play myself pretty much, mm-hmm. and it's me. It's pretty much me going out through history. So I'm pretty much not aging, which is like crazy. Like, it's just me going throughout history, like from like the slave trade to like the American Revolution, mm-hmm. throughout to the Civil War to Reconstruction to like the early 1900s and to like all the the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. just like, yeah, I'm just going through like all these periods of American history, and I meeting different people like Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant,
right,
or the other.
And you play all those guys? You play Grant?
I play all characters. You know, I'm playing Harriet Tubman,
all right,
Sojourner, and Frederick Douglass, and Susan B. Anthony, and all these people. Marcus Garvey. I haven't gotten Marcus Garvey yet. I'm like working him in. Like I have two parts of the show. So I have a first part, then I wrote a sequel to it. So I really have 2 one-man shows, actually. You know what I'm saying? I have two. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right. Well, I mean,
yeah. So
people can come twice. That's even better.
Yeah.
And you do that at Planet Ant? Is that the place?
So our first time I did it was at Go Comedy.
Oh, okay.
And in Ferndale.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I debuted at. And then I've been doing it at Planet Ant. And I've done it at another improv theater that was open at time and closed during the pandemic. It was Pointless Brewery in Ann Arbor.
Okay. Yeah.
Did it out there. And I took it to Chicago Sketch Fest.
Oh, nice.
2 years in a row. So yeah, I've done it like quite a few venues.
All right, man. That's great, dude. That's success right there.
Yeah, like it's a lot of people love it. Like it's received well. Some people didn't receive it well. Like some people were saying like the show makes them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, it's
yeah, that's the point.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's the point of it. It makes you uncomfortable, makes you think about these things.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Like satire is supposed to make you uncomfortable. Like that's what good satire does. Mm-hmm. And you know, and people need to understand that. It's like a lot of people they told me that like they tell me they don't think it's funny, and it's like, and they tell me like, why are you doing comedy like that? And I'm like, well, like some of the best comedians did comedy like that. Like
sure. Richard Pryor, like, back in the day, you know, was that guy.
You said who?
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, definitely. Richard Pryor, mm-hmm. Paul Mooney.
Yeah.
Chris Rock.
Sure.
A lot of like Dick Gregory. Like Dick a lot
Gregory.
Of
Gregory, yeah. We love
guys
Dick Gregory.
Did stuff like that. So like that, and that's the type of comedy I gravitate towards,
mm-hmm.
that I gravitate to. Did I use the right word? I don't know.
I think so. I think
I feel like I'm still waking up. But
yeah, you're all right. But so yeah, you've been doing that, and you've been doing a lot of stand-up. So when did you first hit the stand-up stage?
Like consistently, or just the first time?
Well, whatever. Whenever you started taking it a little more seriously, maybe.
Okay, so I took Bill Bouchard's Intro One class.
Yep.
And well, not Intro One, but Intro stand-up 101 class. And I want to say like fall 2018.
Okay.
And that's when I started that's when I started taking it more seriously. The first time I did it was at a bar that it was actually like Stamprov. That's what we were doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I did a couple of those.
It was at a bar in called Seven Brothers.
Yeah, sure. I did. I've done it there too. So that was really the improvisers kind of ran that thing.
Well, no.
The Planet Ant thing.
Well, Comics was running it.
Comics were running it, but that is sort of the Planet Ant hang, or at least it was.
Yeah. Seven Brothers is like like a bar that a lot of people from the improv community used to hang out at. But when they started doing the Standprov, like comics was hosting it. Like when I did it, Blaine Hill, he was hosting.
Okay, yeah.
And it was funny because like I knew a lot of comics back then, but I didn't like do comedy.
Yeah, at all. Right.
I mean, well, hold on. Let me rephrase that, because I did do comedy. I didn't do stand up comedy.
You did improv comedy, yeah. And there's definitely
I need to watch that, because I sound like, because some comics, they'll be like, they'll ask you like, how long you been doing comedy? I'll say like, I'll be like, well, I've been doing improv a long time. It's like, no, when you start doing comedy,
I'm like, fuck you.
Like improv and comedy. Fuck out of here.
Well, the goal is the same, to make the audience laugh. So they exactly. are the same that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Blaine used to give me shit all the time. Be like, when are you gonna quit being scared and just do it. You know you wanna try stand up, just do it.
Right.
You do improv already, like what the fuck? Just do it. So and I finally tried it, and it was the night and he was hosting that night. And the funny thing about that is that like last summer I did my first feature at a comedy club.
Yeah.
And Blaine was the headliner.
Right.
And he got me the feature. So it was like, I don't know, that was kind of a dope full.
Absolutely.
Like, kind of a dope, full circle moment.
Yeah, man. Well, that's the thing. People help you out, and you stay with them, and they'll help you down the road. And one day you'll help Blaine with something, and there you go.
Yeah.
That's how the business works.
Try to help out everybody.
And then you took my class. You took the advanced comedy class probably not long after that.
Yeah, not too long.
Yeah, you were great in the class, by the way. I think I told you that at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, you're gonna make it, dude. You're gonna be good.
It was fun.
You did great in the class. And I knew it was like you gotta stick with it. Cause I see talented people who just feel like they're not getting the thing that they want, and they're not, you know, and I'm like, no, just keep doing it. Keep doing the mics. Keep your name out there.
Yeah, well, funny.
It's like there's so many people doing it that, you know, the people who are going to get picked to do the work are the ones that are around. They're the ones that are doing it. They're the ones that are in the clubs. And, you know, the people that decide, well, maybe this isn't for me, or nobody's giving me anything. It's like you kind of got to go out and get that thing that you want.
Yeah.
You kind of got to ask for it at a point, literally.
Yeah, you can't sit back and like expect people to ask you to do things.
No, you got to say, hey, I want to do this. How do I do this? And if people say, well, maybe you're not ready for it, you go, okay, well, tell me what I got to do to get ready, and then you go do that. And, you know, most people aren't, you know, they're shady people in comedy, but most people are honest. The successful people are honest.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, like, with me, it's just like when I started, I was already like when I started doing stand up, I already kind of had, like I said, I already had like a comedy background. So it was a little easier for me to navigate in the scene, because I knew how to like reach out to people and stuff like that. And then, like, you know, if people saw me consistently doing good at mics and stuff, people just asked me to do stuff, and they just, Ask me, and then like, it's crazy, because like I need to like start reaching out to more. I need to start reaching out to clubs more.
Yeah,
and like, I get booked a lot because people ask me to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And if I reached out to more people, I'll be booked even more.
You would be, and you start to get that resume. You get that build up of. You featured at the Comedy Castle. You won the Comedy Rumble. You're in Chicago Sketch Fest. You're up, you know, and that all means something, but nothing means as much as just going, hey, I want to do this thing. And somebody sees you be funny and go, okay, now use me.
Right.
You know, or you know people that are working a certain club that you are friends with who know you're funny, and you go, hey, can you put in a word for me? Can you use me as an opener? Can I do a guest spot on this show? That's how you get yourself into stuff.
Yeah.
People ain't calling you to ask you to do stuff. I hate that. I know that bothers comedians, and they think it should be that way. And maybe that is if you're Seinfeld or something. But, you know, comics, you got to ask for what you want. You got to ask for where you want to be.
Yeah, being funny and talented, that's
part of it.
It's surprisingly a small part of
it. Yeah, smaller part than you think. Yeah, but people like you. You're buddies with everybody. I'm not saying you're buddies with everybody because you try to be, but people are like your comedy and they respect you as a person. And you've done well for yourself.
Yeah. I think I am a likable person, and I try not to be an asshole. I don't like bothering people or fucking with people like that. I just kind of stay out the fucking way.
Yeah. Well, people that are in comedy that aren't nice and not humble a little bit, they don't usually make it. You know, I mean, they might have success for a little bit, but at the end of the day, doesn't maybe work out for them. You know, as it would work out the way that they thought maybe it did. You know, and people that don't know them. In the bit, people that follow comedy go, how come this guy never was a bigger star? And then you talk to people that work with him, and they're like, that guy was an asshole. Maybe that's why he's not, sometimes the nicest people you meet are the most successful people. And I don't think that's coincidental.
It was awesome. Well, then, I don't know. What do you think about, we all see, and you could tell me you cut me off if you don't want to say anything.
Sure.
But a lot of people, there's times when you we all see this, you'll see somebody getting booked and you don't think they're that funny.
Yeah.
You don't think they're funny, but they're constantly getting booked or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you see that other person that's actually funny, but they don't get shows. And it's the person that's getting booked, they're nice, they're likable, they're organized, they know how to hustle, they get shows.
They're asking people for that work that they're getting.
And
they're not getting all the work they're asking for. When you see somebody, man, they're booked all the time, it's like they probably got turned down for twice as many shows as people that took them. So it's like you got to just ask for, and for some people, that's really hard. That's really hard to go, hey, I want to work your thing.
Yeah.
Because people will say no, and some people just don't like that rejection. Then the people that aren't funny, and then there's also a thing where people that aren't great, and you go, why is this person opening for this big star? They're not funny. Why are they have this gig and they're headlining this thing and they're not even very good? When they're not good, it'll be obvious when they're on stage. And if it's not good once, they're not going to get a chance to do it again.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to get a chance to do it again, that's your chance to do that thing because they're going to be looking for somebody else.
Exactly.
Well, that's what you learn in the advanced comedy class. A little bit. Plug back to that.
And then you learn,
Well, you're doing great, man. Everybody likes you. Go ahead, ask people. When people say the name Jacob Russell, it is only said with respect. People think you're great. We talk about you and the staff, Bill and Andre and those guys. They all love you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know I was getting talked up like that.
Yeah, we always say good things. Who's on the show tonight? Jacob Russell. Oh, great. Like, we say that. We're like, that's a great show.
Okay, what does that do? Do Mark be talking about me, at least?
Well, listen. Mark knows who you are, and if you're working his club, he thinks you're funny. And, Bill Bouchard is the booker of the club, so he thinks you're funny. So there you go.
I know y'all know who I am.
Yeah, but Mark, that's the thing. Well, Mark knows what he knows. He's been around a long time. And, he was at the club a few weeks ago. He watches the show. Even if he's not there, he's watching, and he knows. And if Mark didn't want you on the stage, you wouldn't be on the stage. But if you're there, you know that you're there for a reason. So, all right.
Dude. When is your next advanced class?
Next advanced class starts September 13th. So we want people to sign up for that. Call the club at 248-542-9900. And you could be like Jacob Russell. You could be all over the place. You could be doing shows. You got to hustle, though. That's an important part.
Your class was important class. Like Because I'll be honest, like when I first got into class,
yeah,
and like I was kind of like, man, like I wanna get up, do some comedy. But then like you were saying a lot of like important, useful information. I'm like, this was a very useful class.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, and we do put you up. I mean, that's the difference between the advanced class and beginner classes. The stage time that you're going to get, a lot of it is going to be outside of the class setting. We try to go out
to
places like New Way and stuff and do it in front of real people, because that's when you know you're good. We can all sit around and laugh at each other's jokes, but when you get the public to laugh, then you're successful.
Yeah, that's another thing I liked about class. Like you took us on field trips.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I tell people, this is what you do as a professional comic. You go to these open mics. You go.
And no, and I'm saying like set. Joel, like audience. Joel, he will rent a bus and put you all on the bus, and he will drive you to about five different open mics in one night. No, that's not gonna happen.
That's exaggerated, but in theory, that would be in a perfect world. I would do that, but we try to get you not only the shows that I do with you, but just meeting the other people. That's one of the reasons why I start the advanced comedy class every week with, what'd you do this week? I went to this show. How was it? Okay. Was there an audience there? Yeah, there was a few people. It wasn't that great. You know, okay. And some people go, well, then we did this and the MC sucked. Well, who was that MC? And then we talk shit like that too. Yeah. We name names. We try to be like, hey, who's good? Who's got a great show? Who's helping comics do their thing? And so that's great. And having guys like you, when I say to people, you should take the advanced comedy class. Well, Jacob Russell took it. You know, when I throw out names like you and Tim Finkel and Cam Rowe and all these people that have headlined the club recently, it's an endorsement for the class as well. So
yeah, I recommend I recommend people to y'all class all the time, to Thank your class you. And
well, that's very,
class.
Very much appreciated, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Because a lot of people, they get up, they say like, they just get up and a lot of get up and do it. But I just recommend you gain a lot of useful information taking the class that Mark really.
It's not a BS thing. It's not a scam. It's teaching you how to be a professional comedian from somebody who's been a professional comedian for a lot of years and try to make more professional comedians. And you might decide comedy's not for you, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's easy, because it's not. You need talent. One of the core things about the advanced comedy class, I think, is that nobody's good when they start. So don't be afraid to go on stage and bomb. Because we all do. It's okay. It's part of the process of getting good.
Yeah, so many people. I've seen, it's crazy how many comics I've seen come and go. Even before I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of them come and go. Because they just like, I don't know, a lot of people, you gotta have like thick skin for this. And a lot of people, they just
got to.
They just don't have it. They're not trusting the process pretty much.
Exactly.
You know? That's like, I don't know, like, I guess that was kind of like an easy transition for me to like doing stand-up from improv. Cause like when I bomb doing stand-up, I kind of be like, oh, this feels familiar.
Well, it's, like I said, it's part of the thing, but the more you do it, the less you bomb. And I haven't seen you bomb on stage. You've always done well.
You seen one of my most epic bombs.
Which one was that?
Maybe you wasn't there for it,
Well, don't tell.
No, I'll tell you. It was like, I did Detroit to LA.
Oh, okay.
And like 2019 is my first time doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm having like a real, good set. I'm doing good. And then like I tell this joke that kind of like sucked the air out of the room.
Oh.
And it was probably because I'm about to blame the audience already. But it's probably because it's Royal Oak and there's a bunch of white people. And maybe they didn't get it. Or maybe I just presented the joke wrong. But I just like I said, I'm doing a good set and everything. And then I just say this joke and I'm like, and this is around like the whole when the Me Too movement was popping off.
Okay.
And I say, ever since the Me Too movement, white women think they're niggas now. That's what I said.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's what I said. that's what I said. Mm. And like it kind of sucked the air out of the room. Like nobody like everybody was looking at me like, oh shit. Like you know what I'm saying? It was and I kinda just said that for like because I thought it was just a funny line to say.
Yeah.
But then, like, there was no, like, follow-up with it. And, you know, I just bombed. I tanked my set. That was a pretty big bomb. That's the worst kind of bomb. Like, when you're doing good, you say something that just,
and it just
fucks up everything.
Yeah.
But
well,
like,
I take it that's a line you didn't use previously.
You said what?
You didn't use that line at another show before that.
I did it at, I used it at Mike's. and people laugh.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes that happens. A room full of comics will laugh at that. Yeah,
when I did it at a club. Everybody's like, "Oh, you know what I'm saying?" They didn't. I don't know, but yeah. Either they didn't get it, or they didn't think it was funny. Either way, I didn't get the reaction I wanted.
Well, listen, I listen. You're being very candid, revealing that. You didn't need to do it, but I think it's very humble of you to say, hey, I made a mistake. You learn from it and you move on. And I don't even remember that. But hey, man, what can you do?
I felt like you was there. You might have been there.
Hey, you didn't win Detroit.
It was a while ago.
But
it
you still
was before COVID. So it was a while ago.
All right.
But I did that. Yeah.
All right, man. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Jacob. This is a blast. And Pete, tell people where they can follow you. You're on Instagram. What are you doing?
You follow me on Instagram at Jake the Comics, JAKEDA Comic, Jake the Comic. You can also follow me, Walk News on Instagram.
Okay.
I have like a web series called Walk News about news from the walk I just took.
Okay. That's cool.
It's a funny series. I also have a show. I'm also a producer at the Independent Comedy Club.
Okay.
Maybe that recently.
Yeah.
I have a show there monthly called I Ain't No Joke. Mm-hmm. The improv show with stand-up elements.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's a great show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's stand-ups tell jokes and improvisers create scenes based off the jokes. It's a fun show. But follow me on Instagram at Jake the Comic, JAKEDA Comic, for more information on like shows and stuff.
They'll know exactly where to see the one man show and all that.
The one man show, Birth of Wise Nation. That's gonna be a plan that in November.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I Ain't No Joke is gonna be part of the Motor City Comedy Festival this year.
Oh, even better! Yeah, that's great.
I'll be posting about that real soon. So
yeah, and I was part of it last year. I did a seminar last year. I might be part of this year too, but I don't know. It hasn't been determined yet. But hopefully, I enjoyed doing that. So
yeah.
All right, man. Well, Jake, thanks for talking to me, dude.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Great talk, man. All right, we'll talk soon. See you at the club.
Yeah, see you.
All right, man. Bye bye. All right, that's Jacob Russell. Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Charlie, too, man. Great talks. Great local acts. Great local entertainers. Doing their thing. Come support Charlie this week with his TEDx show at the Comedy Castle. It's not TED Talks. You heard him. It's comedy. So it's time to come out for that one. If you want a great way to start your Labor Day weekend, you can't find a better lineup on our schedule than the one we got for you this Wednesday. And of course, the comedy classes. With Bill Bouchard doing the beginner class, myself doing the advanced comedy class. Tam White just did an improv class. I'm not sure when the next date will be for a Tam White's improv class, but shout out to Tam for debuting that over the summer here. So, yeah, man, just want to thank everyone for listening to this show. I get lots of cool feedback at the club. If you hear this, say hi to me. I'm usually working the door. That's right. I'm not the big ugly guy. I'm not the big mean guy. That's Bill Lodge. No, I'm kidding. I love Bill. But yeah, come say hi to me at the club. Certainly sign up for a comedy class. If you got any questions, you can always email me, joelthecomic@gmail.com, and I will try to get back to you, whether it be about the class or the show or whatever you want to do. We'll talk to you. All right? All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Come check out Charlie this week. Follow Jacob Russell on Instagram, as you heard from him. Have a great Labor Day, guys. We'll be back after that, all right? Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. Big fall of comedy. I want you guys to be there. Bye-bye.